Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose on this edition, why, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. As always, it's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Now it's time for Bob Christopher.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Yesterday we had a wonderful broadcast as we were talking about the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ Jesus and just what he accomplished for us through his death. I mean, it is just a monumental accomplishment, complete, final. It brings us to the point where we can rest. We know that we have forgiveness of sins. We know that as we stand before God, we stand before him as forgiven people. And boy, what good news that is. Well, whenever we talk about that, we have critics. We have people who hold different viewpoints. Yeah. And we had a couple of those yesterday. And I never mind disagreement. I think that's good. That's healthy. And we can really dive into the Word of God, but sometimes folks will try to put words in our mouth, like the comment that we got yesterday that says, you really are deceived if you think we can run out and sin and still go to heaven. Well, nowhere in yesterday's broadcast did we mention that at all. As a matter of fact, we talked about the opposite, the fact that God's grace is the very thing that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. But this is such an important issue. It really is one of those fundamental truths that if we grab hold of, it changes the trajectory of our Christian lives. It really puts us in that state of rest in Jesus, of really growing in his love and grace. And so I thought it was important that we talk about that more today, and to talk about exactly what Jesus accomplished for us in death, and why we can't just look at that as the complete picture of salvation, why we have to include his resurrection and what that means to us in the newness of life that we have in Christ. And Andrew, sure glad you're with us today, and I'm just going to throw this out to you and to Richard, and let's talk about what Christ has accomplished for us and why we can truly say that all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future.
Yeah, well, you know, looking at this post that we're all sort of reacting to today, you know, it says you're deceived if you think we can run out and sin and still go to heaven. And it kind of reminds me of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And, of course, Paul's answer is, by no means, may it never be. But he doesn't say, oh, because you're going to miss out on heaven. That's not the reason. He doesn't say, oh, because God's going to be ticked off at you. He doesn't say, oh, because you're going to lose fellowship, lose connection with God. No, the answer he gives as far as why we should not go on sinning is because we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ, and we're raised to newness with Jesus Christ. So those facts about our death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus impact why we don't continue in sin. Does that mean, you know, if we were to continue in sin, would we miss out on heaven? That's part of her concern. Well, you know, 1 Peter 1 says we have an inheritance reserved for us, kept for us in heaven that can never spoil, never perish, never fade away. It's undefiled, protected in heaven, 1 Peter 1 says. So, you know, the gifts and the calling are irrevocable. God's not going to revoke them based on our performance. Our inheritance will never be revoked. Heaven will never be revoked. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God has done a beautiful work here through the cross and the resurrection in securing us forever. And I think the misinformation out there is that, oh, if we know this kind of security, if we know this kind of love, well, then we're just going to go out and set world records for sin. And, you know, as you quoted, you know, Titus says the opposite, that the grace of God is going to teach us to say no to sin, not say yes to sin. So, Yes, we have an advocate, 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate if we do sin. And James 3 says, you know what? We all sin. We all stumble in many ways. So, guys, sinning is a part of the process throughout the 80 years or whatever it is our Christian life happens to be on this planet. We're learning and we're growing. And, you know, every single believer still sins. And yet that does not take away or ruin our inheritance or our place in Jesus, you know, because it wasn't about our performance to start with.
Absolutely. You know, the idea, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus's blood speaks eternally on our behalf to us. You know, God the Father's mind doesn't have to be changed. It's not like when we sin, God gets mad and Jesus jumps in the way and says, "Hold on, God, you know, I'm going to speak on their behalf." That's not the way it works. God has always loved us. He demonstrated that love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So we need our hearts calmed. We need our hearts reassured, and Jesus Christ is our advocate, speaks that calmness, that reassurance into our lives through his eternal shed blood. So that's the word that speaks to us at that time, and it causes us to relax and to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that sin, too, you took away 2,000 years ago, and that I already stand forgiven for that in your sight. And so that's what it means for him to be an advocate. But there's more to this salvation story than just forgiveness of sins. And that's where so many people fall short, I think, guys, is that we just look at forgiveness as kind of an external cleansing. And when we sin again, we have to somehow get that dirt off of us again. And that's just kind of the process that we live in. But that's not what this Christian life is all about. And that's not what salvation is all about. And we want to talk more about that after we come back from this short break.
Well, it's good so far. I think it's going to get better as we go. Welcome, everybody. Indeed, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining Bob and Richard and me. And we're glad that you have. 844-322-2742. That's the toll-free number. And we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Guys, I'm going to throw out a verse from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And I'm just going to use this as a springboard to talking about this great salvation that we have in Christ. So here's what verse 6 of chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy says: "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." So we had a heart problem, and we had hearts that were running astray from God, that were rebellious toward God, and God said he was going to do something in regards to our hearts, and he was going to circumcise them in such a way that we would actually love God. There would be hearts that would be no longer rebellious toward him, but would be hearts that would want to trust him, would be hearts that would fully love him. And we see the fulfillment of this in the great gospel, where Christ has circumcised our hearts when he made us alive together with Christ and has given us new hearts. So when we couple that with this truth that we have forgiveness of sins, that just makes these hearts that have been made new love God even more and want to walk by faith in him on a day-to-day basis. So let's throw that out and discuss that for a couple of minutes, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first there's the cleansing of all unrighteousness. That's the forgiveness. And you're right. You know, the impression is, hey, that's all there is to salvation. A lot of people, the number one thing they think of when they think of being saved is, well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's so true, and it's so essential, but it only takes you from, you know, a negative 10, unrighteous, to a place of about zero, being cleansed of all unrighteousness. But it still doesn't make you righteous. You see, being cleansed of unrighteousness doesn't make you righteous. It just makes you neutral. So then what the resurrection does is it actually causes us to be the righteousness of God. So, you know, we go from a negative 10 to a zero through forgiveness, being cleansed of all unrighteousness. And then we go from a zero to a positive 10. I'm going to say even an 11, off the charts righteous, because of this new birth and this resurrection life that we have in Jesus Christ. So forgiveness is not good enough. We needed it, and that got everything started. But the way that this work finished was through the resurrection, and we got the new heart, we got a new spirit, we got God's spirit living in us. You can call it a great exchange. You can call it a DNA swap spiritually. But man, we are for the very first time then alive to God and born of His Spirit.
And that's the story. I mean, yes, that is the full picture, the full scope of this salvation that we have. So forgiveness, this forgiveness that we have in Christ, becomes a motivation to love God even more through these new hearts that we have been given, this righteousness that has been given to us. And we have to recognize that. So we don't have to fear teaching the truth. I think so many people try to hedge their bets. They're still kind of living in a pagan mindset that says, if I do something wrong, God is going to punish me. And so all of these things, repent, confess, ask God to forgive, are all things to try to prevent that punishment from coming. But if we recognize that Jesus has already stood in our place, that we have already been set free from sin and death, we've already been redeemed, we already have forgiveness of sins and have been declared righteous in the sight of God, then we will grow in our love for Him. And our hearts will say, in all circumstances, I want to trust the leading of God's Spirit in my life. And I guarantee you, God's Spirit is never going to lead any one of us into sin. We can count on that. We can trust that. We can relax in that very truth. And as we do, we can see the fruit of God's Spirit being lived out in our everyday lives. That's what this gospel message is all about. So don't be afraid of the truth. The truth will set you free. That's the power of God's Word. That is the power of Jesus Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Yes, indeed. That is good news. And this is Basic Gospel, where you hear it every day, friends. A quick reminder that with your gift this month, you'll not only help to keep the good news coming, you'll also receive our brand new book called The Basic Gospel. It'll help you make sure that you have the basics down and be able to grow and mature in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And of course, that's good in the U.S. or Canada. 844-322-2742, or donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk to our friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm so blessed to hear your words of wisdom again, and just such a blessing. God, I was listening to you yesterday talking about love, and I had to make a comment, like I'm reading the Old Testament again. I'm going through the Bible, and it seems like the Old Testament is the foundation. And in the house, you have to have a foundation, but you don't live in the foundation. To live in the living space is like the New Testament. It's where you live. And so I think that's what a lot of people miss. And then the way you were talking, I've been listening to some other ministers who've been teaching about grace. But what they say because of God's grace, then because you believe in His grace, then that's going to give you prosperity, and that's going to give you health also. So those are a couple of things I had as a comment, but those things I know not true. But another thing that we have here, we have so many people, and I was listening to you talk about yesterday, so much love, and we have to ask ourselves, as a Christian people, why do we have so many people, you know, who say they're Christians but don't love other people? They hate people because of their religious beliefs, maybe their sexual orientation or maybe who they are. And so as Christian people, I think we need to be, have that taught more of. And I was looking at some of the people that you made yesterday who commented. So many people aren't getting truth. And so they're going to church, and so they're not getting truth. So when that's for, when you and Andrew Fowler and those other people began to tell them truth, it's so hard for people to grasp it because it's not something that they're used to hearing.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we can just all say amen to that and go home now, brother. That was some good commentary on the Christian life and on the scriptures. And let me just say, I agree with you wholeheartedly through and through. I mean, first you touched on the foundation. I mean, you know, the prophets were predicting the coming of Christ. There's tons of Old Testament prophecy, even, early mentions of Christ. And then Christ comes and unleashes on the world the most incredible message we could possibly imagine. So the Old Testament certainly did lay a foundation, and Christ is the cornerstone of everything. And then here we are building on the words of the apostles, living in a new covenant under a new testament, and prosperity, to mention that. I mean, prosperity in terms of dollars is not part of the equation. I mean, you know, candidly, that's a serious error in the Christian world today. People are saying that you need to have more money. If you're a true Christian and have enough faith, you'll have more money. Then another group is saying, oh, you need to give up all your money, have less money. If you'd be more spiritual if you had less money. And then others say you'd be more spiritual if you have more money. Well, it's not about more money or less money. It's about Jesus Christ being our secret of contentment in all our circumstances, whether we have plenty or whether we have little. Paul spoke of this in Philippians, and that is the real truth of the matter. So why are people hating each other these days, as you put it? I mean, you know, to me, I really think it goes back, guys, to identity. Are we building our identity around our political opinions? Are we building our identity around, opinions that we carry? Are we building our opinions around, or our identity around race? Are we building it around background? Are we building it around money and accomplishments? When we do that sort of thing, then we've got everybody categorized and labeled, and we really need to get back to the core that, you know what, we're not supposed to recognize anyone according to the flesh. Instead, we've got a new identity in Christ, and that's where we live from, and that's how we relate to other people.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Andrew.
Amen.
Yeah, I hope that helps, brother, and
thank
I appreciate
you so much. You definitely dealt with that. That's amazing. And I appreciate you all so much, because one thing about it, if you can't truth, we'll prevail. It might take a while, but we have to keep telling truth. And after a while, people begin to see it and study their word, and then they'll know what you're saying is true. Because when I first heard this, I was a young fellow, but then I remembered it, and so I believed it. And then later on in 1995, I thought I was kind of insane because I didn't hear nobody else, but I heard Bob George saying it too. And then they began to say, well, look, I'm not out here by myself. There's some other people that believe that. So it's been an extension, and I just thank you so much because I am able to grow so much. And y'all are doing a great work, and it's going to manifest itself even greater and greater, and more people are going to come to the realization. So I just continue to pray for you and try to support you. Thank God for everything that y'all do, all of y'all.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Andrew. That, something I'd like to add to that, maybe turn it just a little bit. We tend to blame preachers for bad teaching. And yeah, many preachers deserve that blame, but that preacher is not responsible for me. I need to study the Bible myself and get to know Jesus myself, because he will reveal himself to me. And as long as I was living on somebody else's word for it, I was confused. I was one of those terrible legalists. I hated everybody. I was always judgmental. And then Jesus got a hold of me and said, why don't you read the Bible and figure out who I am? And that changed everything. So I would encourage anyone out there listening to us, don't take our word for it. If you take our word for it today, then you'll hear somebody else tonight and you'll be confused. Go to the Word of God, meet the real Jesus, and let him change your life.
Yeah, and you have the teacher, the Holy Spirit,
yes,
that will, you know, has promised to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to you, has promised to give you an understanding through his power of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and that changes everything. I think one of the reasons we don't see a lot of love is because we see judgment.
Yes.
We are constantly judging each other, pointing fingers at one another, and we have to come to the point and realize that Christ has already done his work, and that frees us up to really love and serve others in love. So, Andrew, thanks for that great question. We sure appreciate it. But we're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. When somebody's down and out, really hit rock bottom, like, what do you say to them about Christ? Because I know sometimes when I mention Jesus, they get sarcastic and they you know, they're stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Jo, I mean, that might be part of the reason they're so down and out. I mean, you know, they're choosing to be sarcastic about Jesus. They're choosing to have an attitude about him that indicates, I mean, that, you know, Mary Jo, that reveals something about their opinion of him. So you're trying to help someone who may not even want help at this time. They're not ready. Maybe they need to be down and out a little while longer. Maybe they need to be miserable just a little while longer until they start really coming to reality and recognizing their need for Jesus Christ. You know, some people say they want help, but they're relying on their own strength. They say they want help, but they're depending on themselves. And they're not really looking for someone who is not them to come in and to rule and to do things, renovate and rule and renew their mind and change their attitudes. So, you know, when we come to Christ, we're asking him to do something that we can't do for ourselves. So, Mary Jo, I think that you are encountering a problem that so many of us encounter. We want to help a friend or a relative, a loved one, and we find resistance in them. We find sarcasm in them. We find an attitude of not really being receptive to the message of Jesus Christ. So sometimes all you can do is pray for them and bide your time and ask the Lord to be your patience. And then just at the right time, there you are, still friends with them, still loving them, still accepting them. And just at the right time, maybe the Lord just might use you in their life.
Yeah, they
help?
Put up a wall. That's pretty obvious, but I just don't know what to say, and I just give it to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
All you can do.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so you're doing exactly what the Lord is leading you to do. We can't get into the results game. We can't try to make somebody come out of their discouragement. We can't put happiness in their souls. We can just simply point them to the one who can. So Mary Jo, you keep making yourself available to the Lord. You keep offering yourself to him and speaking truth and hope and encouragement and all those great things to the folks in your life, and leave the results of that in God's hands. So thank you, Mary Jo, as always. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to everybody who calls or writes to pose a question or become a part of the conversation here at Basic Gospel. We love hearing from you, our listeners. If you have a question, can't get to us while we're live on the air, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number's available anytime, 24 hours a day. We would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Well, friends, want to remind you, of course, that if you don't have the basics down right, you're really standing on shifting ground. You got to have the solid foundation of the gospel. And as believers, we need to understand that we are now children of God, that we live by grace through faith and not by obedience to the law, that by his Spirit, Jesus lives in us, and that his life guarantees our salvation. You hear it every day on Basic Gospel, and you've certainly heard it today. I want to remind you that with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, you'll not only help to keep the good news coming, you'll also receive our brand new book, The Basic Gospel. It'll help you make sure that you have the basics down right and help others at the same time. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And, of course, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742, or donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.